protect the children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, she's a horrible person, and
this is the Horrible People's Podcast.
That's Wow. We have to go.
That was an alley-oop. That was an alley-oop.
She said the thing.
When Phil was in genuine anguish, I mean, that's pretty good.
That's what I live for. You've Phil's genuine anguish.
I literally facepalmed to that, and I thought I was the king of facepalms, but no. I've been dethroned tonight.
And on that note, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome back to the second episode of Trash Month here at the Horrible People's Podcast. I am your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
Hey, hey.
And Phil Acevedo.
Hello!
Joining us, also, our special guest host for the month, James Brizuela. Hello.
He's my special boy!
My boy!
Hello. My son!
That's my son!
I've abandoned my son!
Anyway, yes, I'm back. This is
everyone's boy, James Brizuela.
This is episode 2, Trash Month.
If we were still playing the hot seat, you'd all get points right there.
This is episode 2 of Trash Month, Attack the Clones.
Man.
And I know everyone's going to be a lot less upset because this was actually a lot better than the last movie we talked about.
Correct.
Such an enjoyable time.
I think we're in a
whole
lot better mood, all four of us, compared to the last episode.
Already.
you'll hear my thoughts later. But this is Zombievers.
Yes.
Yay!
Woo! Thank you for introducing it, because I was just like, hey, let's just dive in. We are talking about Zombievers, a movie that I think took us all a little bit by surprise after the dumpster fire that was Thanksgiving 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So without any further ado, James is going to lead us an introduction. Because he's the guest host, and that's what he's going to do for this month.
I'm just going to start reading. Zombievers. A fun weekend turns into madness and horror for a bunch of groupies looking for fun in a beaver-infested swamp. First of all...
IMDb, right? IMDb.
Okay.
Okay.
All of that makes sense, except for groupies, because groupies is in relation to people that are a fan... Of a band.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
it's a very specific term.
Yeah. Anyway.
These harlots.
There you go.
These sluts.
A group of whores.
There's some whores at this lake. Some whores at this lake.
Salacious ladies.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Anyway. So it's directed by Jordan Rubin, written by Al Kaplan, Jordan Rubin, and John Kaplan. Story by Al Kaplan, Jordan Rubin, and John Kaplan. It was produced by Evan Drowski? Let's go with that. Chris Bender and Christopher Lamole.
Lamole.
That's Lamole.
Christopher Lamole.
Is that Christopher Lamole?
This is already off to a great start. So it's starring Rachel Melvin, Hutch Dano, Courtney Palm, Lexi Atkins, Bill Burr,
Billy Blue Balls,
Peter Gilroy, and the very surprising John Mayer.
I literally just found out that that's John Mayer like 20 minutes before he started.
So I was like, it looked like Michael Ian Black at first to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, is that Michael Ian Black? And I was like, and I went on the IMDb. I was like, I have to see. And I was like, holy fuck, that's John Mayer.
So right before you guys got here, I was talking to Phil about the movie. And he was like, so who's John Mayer? And I was just like, the guy sitting next to Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And he was just like, what? It was very funny.
I thought he was like in the background of one scene.
I wish I had gotten it, on the record.
I had to Google image it, and I'm like, holy fuck, that is John Mayer.
That's so good. By the way, those are two of the, most unexpected and best cameos ever.
And they bookend the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's full circle narrative. We'll get into it, I'm sure.
Yeah, I texted the group, and I was just like, Was anyone going to tell me Bill Burr was in this? Like,
right away when I saw him, I was like, hell yeah, Bill Burr. Yeah. And then I was like, who's this? I was like, Michael Ian Black? No shit, John Mayer. As you can hear, we're all a lot more happy about this episode.
Yeah, we're happy to be here.
We were miserable in the first half of last episode.
Yeah, before the game
before
started.
The game show. Thank you for
I had to create a whole game show just so I'm like, I can't talk about this movie for 90 minutes. I can't talk about it. You talk about a bunch of other shit and then pit my friends against each other.
Yeah. I don't have a whole game show, but, you know.
It's okay.
It's totally fine.
Plenty of opportunities
coming
up.
We needed that game show because that movie was so fucking bad.
Yes.
If without that game show, that episode would have just been us talking shit.
You would believe when Anthony said, it's okay. Like, I look at his eyes, was just like, nobody's perfect.
He's like, you could have done better.
Like a disappointed parent.
Yeah, right? I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Fuck!
Smoking a cigarette outside, just like... the goddamn D.
Just me in my room, just like, you just don't understand! Slams the door.
She shuts the door. It's not a phase for him.
My Chemical Romance. Like, I'm not!
So, Zombievers was released on April 19th, 2014 at the Tribeca Film Festival. Then it was released March 20th, 2015 in the United States, and on December 26th, 2014 on DVD.
I don't understand how that works.
Neither do I.
Whoa, okay.
But I'm assuming that it probably did well at the film festival, and then
DVD.
They released a DVD, and then it got better, and they were like, cool, let's do it theatrical.
They gave it a super limited theatrical release, and the box office was...
$44,080, which is fine.
That's why they released the DVD sales first, because they're like, no one's going to go see this in theaters. Yeah. They probably knew.
Three probably showings. Yeah. They're like, oh, dude, these kids are going to go fucking wild.
Which is so crazy. Anyway, we're looking for beavers, guys. Aren't we all?
Yes, aren't we all?
Oh, my gosh.
The dialogue.
Is it chef's kiss, James?
It is, because I was like, let's just lean into all the innuendo, and they did.
Yeah.
And it was great.
God, there's so much fucking innuendo.
You can tell they did not write Bill Burr's or John Mayer's, but they're just improv, in the truck.
They were probably like, okay, so there's no script, go.
We got 3 minutes.
Did you notice how slow they were driving?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They were driving super slow, because I think they were just like, look, we're just gonna turn on the cameras, and it's attached to the car, obviously.
Yeah.
Right? So like, look, you guys just go ahead and just.
Did
go
you
ahead.
See the blooper reel at the end of the movie?
Oh, yes. So good.
Yes.
Okay, because all of the driving scenes, it's fake. They're not driving, so that's why it looks like they're driving so slow.
So it's all green screen. I probably didn't even notice, to be honest.
Yeah.
I thought they were just driving super slow.
Yeah. It's the equivalent of ye olden times when like there's just like a screen in the background that makes it look like
a blooper
movie.
At the end.
You did it? Oh, dude, it was one of the best.
It was really
parts.
Good.
Fucking funny.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was super
right
fun.
You get bloopers from the sex scenes.
Yes.
Oh, I saw that. Okay. Oh.
He's like,
Rush Hour
style. I'm sure you saw that, girl.
Yes, okay. So now I do remember. Now
I love the blooper from the sex scenes. Like, my mother never loved me. My mother never loved me.
That was so good.
He's like, what are you seeing me? What are you seeing me?
I love it when movies. They need to bring back credit bloopers back. Fucking Rush Hour used to do it all the time. They need to bring those back.
I'm with you on that one. Okay, so we're still looking for beavers, right?
We are looking for beavers. So, as if it wasn't obvious enough, again, hello Trash Month, this movie wasn't really made to be taken seriously at all. Even the director has some comedic beginnings. Director Jordan Rubin, while he was still studying at NYU, he began his career in stand-up comedy. He went on to write for television on comedy series such as The Man Show. Remember that, Jim? seriously, remember that, Jim? Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you remember Ziggy Zaggy. Oi, oi, oi.
God damn it.
Your three dudes are right here, Alex.
The Man Show is a staple.
Yeah, is it a staple?
It was a staple.
Before Rogan and who's the other guy?
I forgot.
It was Joe Rogan and somebody else after Adam Carolla.
Yeah, Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah,
were like,
after they left.
Deeply cringing.
It's fine.
Deeply.
It was Man Show and MXC back to back on Spike TV, right?
Guy in the douche.
Guy in the douche.
You're bringing us back with this. All shit came out the same fucking time.
Yeah, yeah. The Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn.
Boom.
and Last Call with Carson Daly.
Dang. That's a throwback.
Gradual decline.
Carson Daly.
He even had his own half-hour Comedy Central special in 2008, and wrote the opening film for. I'm assuming the opening
joke.
Bit. For the 83rd Annual Academy Awards in 2011, in addition to other television award shows.
Interesting.
Okay. I wonder which show was 83rd.
He's like, I gotta know.
Can you look that up, Jamie?
How
pull it up, please.
Was it lame?
I'm sure.
2011?
Yes. Jordan Rubin, Al Kaplan, and John Kaplan began working on the script for Zombievers in 2012, shortly after the Academy Awards in 2011. Rubin then put together a proof of concept trailer compiled from footage from various horror movies, BBC nature shows, and social media outlets, and presented the trailer to Bender Spink and Armory Films. The two companies agreed to finance the film, and the film went into pre-production shortly thereafter. I love that he, like, spliced this together and was just like...
This is what we're doing.
This is our rough concept.
Fwynn, did you look up the 2011
Oh, that was a King's Speech sweep with the Social King's Network.
I was gonna say Social Network, or maybe Black Swan. Oh, yep. Black Swan, damn
Black
it.
Swan also.
And also, I was gonna say The Master with Joaquin Phoenix.
Not that year. Okay, you were very close. The Fighter is the one that was up there. And Toy Story 3. Which is the second time in a row we've mentioned Toy Story 3, so this is good.
We're a Toy Story 3 podcast. I don't know if you guys knew that. We're rebranding.
I kind of thought.
We're rebranding.
Although he did have to write the one that was hosted by James Franco and Anne Hathaway. Kind of meh.
Borderline cringe, too.
Although, I can't trust anything that Anthony says to me anymore because he confessed to me today in Instagram DMs that he is not a fan of tortellini.
It's the worst pasta.
It's so not.
Yeah.
You're so wrong.
I think it's the worst one.
You're objectively
It's like
incorrect.
A really dumb pasta. Really
tortellini?
Bad. Yeah, tortellini's bad.
It's a cheese-stuffed pasta. What
it's
more
so
could you
puffy
want?
And fucking hard to work with. Like, honestly, easier pasta. So, yeah, no.
I don't what
like
the fuck?
This is a very weird conversation.
Yeah.
We had this whole conversation before where Alex is wrong.
What's the origin of this conversation? Come from? Where did it come from?
He posted a thing on Instagram where he's like, by the time you're in your 30s, you have like a favorite pasta and a pasta that you are irrationally mad about. And I was like, what pasta do you hate? And I expected something like normal, like penne or something. And fucking, he hits me with tortellini, which
I love
is
penne. I don't know what you're talking about.
What
there.
The fuck is wrong with you, dude?
Penne's great.
Oh my god. I told him I was quitting the podcast.
This is the most we've fought, honestly, in like years.
I gotta weigh in real quick. You're wrong.
That's fine.
I am a nihilist.
Listeners, this is not a visual medium. He pointed at Alex.
No, you're wrong. You are a goddamn.
He pointed directly at Alex.
Tortellini is delicious.
And he spit at her laptop. He's a real piece of shit.
He's stomping it now, and he's saying, Ricky Tan, you gotta get your ass up, dog. And he's breaking the laptop as we speak right now.
He called me a midget in a bathrobe. He called me a midget in a bathrobe.
God damn it.
We can't go 1 month without a Rush Hour reference.
No, really? No, no, no. Now that Phil's on,
We've been struggling not to make a Rush Hour reference.
Zombievers, yay!
No, it's totally fine. This is a short episode, so please interject as you will. So the two companies agreed to finance the film, and the film went into pre-production shortly thereafter. I already said that line.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay.
I get it. You know,
it was so nice. You had to
eat so much tortellini, it fucks up your head, dude. Like. It's just not.
It's not tortellini.
Totally sucks. That's what I was gonna say.
Good lord.
I don't know who dropped you on your head as a child.
I just got out of an hour and a half of traffic. Hold on, a little hot today.
God damn, you're wrong.
Oh my god.
Let's learn more about this fucking beaver shit.
Sure. You know they piss bright green, right?
What?
You know beavers piss bright green?
I didn't know that.
Did you watch the movie?
Did they? Oh, fuck. I missed that line. God
damn. It's part of the acid, man. Because if I didn't see this movie, I would have believed her. That's how gullible I am.
You're right.
I told him a joke earlier that involved being gullible. And he was like, wait, really? And I was just like, no! Oh. No, Phil! God damn it.
Jeez.
So, moving on, before both of you give me an aneurysm.
Blame the 2011 Academy Awards for this.
Both of you
scenario.
Are giving me a fucking aneurysm. James is going to take over.
I'm still looking for beavers. I don't know about anybody else.
Aren't we all? Anyway, the film features animatronic models of beavers as opposed to CGI special effects. And the models were created by Creature Effects.
Mm-hmm. Which is one of my favorite things about this movie.
Oh, so fun. Yes.
Great special effects.
9 different puppets were used for the zombie beavers. There are 9 zombie beavers.
Oh, shit.
Nice.
In various states of distress.
9 were given to the race of beavers.
God!
Noble and sadistic creatures of the lakes.
Is that your Cate Blanchett?
Yeah, that's my Cate Blanchett.
Right being such a tortellini right now, dude.
Don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Actresses: Courtney Palm, Rachel Melvin, and Lexi Atkins, along with comedian slash actor Bill Burr, were all confirmed to be performing in the film. As mentioned, this is also John Mayer's feature film acting debut. Go figure.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay. What a movie to come out with.
Hello, Academy. All right.
Hello. Courtney Palm also, I believe, yes, in an interview, she was in a movie called Sushi Girl, and a lot of
I've seen that movie.
So
it's actually a really good, pretty good movie.
I heard it was.
Yeah, her tits are out in that one too.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's where I recognize her from.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Her face not even in frame. You're like, oh, fucking Sushi Girl.
But
that's
there was
disgusting. Where?
That's disgusting. Show me where it is. Right now. No. She in an interview, she was talking about like, or someone was asking like if she was uncomfortable with so much nudity in the film, and she was just like, "I'm used to it. It's fine. We had a bonding experience over." I'm like, "What the fuck?" So yes.
Back to Sushi Girl. Mark Hamill's in. He's fantastic in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a good movie, so watch it.
I heard Sushi Girl is really good.
It is. It's got a very kind of Tarantino-esque feel to it.
Right.
It's really good. Girl.
Yeah.
I was shocked.
I feel like I've seen this.
I was shocked at how good it was.
This has a lower rating on Rotten Tomatoes than Zombievers.
Yeah, that makes sense, though.
Interesting.
It's a good movie. All
right.
Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah. Website. You don't need Rotten Tomatoes to tell you what's good and what's bad.
Dang.
He says this because he won the Rotten Tomatoes game last week on the show.
She looks like she's about to punch you in your tortellinis.
And I'm also coming through an hour and 20 minute drive.
I'll see, so. And a stomach full of Del Taco.
And a stomach full of Del Taco.
Mm-hmm. I just came from the gym. I will fight.
That's true. She got the strength training right now, dude. Your head's done.
Yes, it's over. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm fairly scared. I'm sitting right next to her, too.
As you should be. Moving on! My God. So principal photography took place in Santa Clarita, California at the Disney Ranch over a period of 21 days with a small but seemingly unknown budget. Mm. Epic Picture Group uploaded the first official trailer for the film in February of 2014, and the trailer quickly went 2014's version of viral, amassing over 1 million views in less than a week.
I remember seeing it, and I was like, I want to see this.
Simple days. Mm-hmm. Easy days. The easy days of over a week and getting 1 million views meant viral.
Yep.
And then, finally, the Backstreet Boys are given a cast credit for playing the zombie beaver bear. It isn't clear if it was all of them.
That's pretty amazing.
Interesting. What? Okay. What?
I don't know. If you looked at the credits, the Backstreet Boys were given cast credits for the Zombie Beaver Bear.
Were they dressed up as the Zombie Beaver Bear?
Backstreet's back, all right.
Oh my God, went back again. Am I original?
Yeah.
Oh my God. There you go.
Gotta hit it with the backup vocals.
Everybody, calm down. Everybody, calm down.
Yeah, Backstreet Boys fucks, man. I always prefer them over NSYNC.
I bet the costume
No, no, no. I said what I said. I said what I said.
Whoa.
Phil. Correct. Correct on that one. I'm sorry, dude. Backstreet Back is a horror movie.
It really is.
Music video.
It's like, when it comes to pop, it goes Michael Jackson's Thriller, and then Backstreet Boys is Backstreet Back. I mean, they shot in the same mansion.
I'm not giving you any credit for that one. That was no.
They shot in the same mansion where they shot Casper. That's the Casper house.
She's about to strangle. She's about. Listeners, you can't see, but she is about to strangle Phil.
And I keep talking. I was like, I'm taking these words with me to the grave.
Phil's about to go bye 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 right now.
Wow. Are you willing? We're not playing the game.
We're not playing your game anymore, dude.
We're not playing your sick, twisted, fucking Saw-esque games, dude.
If you didn't see our Thanksgiving episode, be sure to tune in for the previous episode where Quinn made a really cool game show.
Mm-hmm. He did make a very cool game show. I just got freaking destroyed.
Yeah. It was. I loved pitting everybody against each other. It was so fun.
So, are you willing to die for this belief that Backstreet Boys is better than NSYNC?
I thought I was just about to right now. So that's why I kept running my mouth.
You're like, if I'm gonna die, let it be known that I love Backstreet Boys better than NSYNC.
Wow.
Ooh.
Just wow.
Just wow.
So. Wow. Yeah. Oh, it's my turn. Hey. It's my turn.
I thought he knew that it was transitioning.
Nice segue there, Phil.
Yeah. First of all, let me just say right here that you may be looking for some beavers, but I'm looking for some filthy, hairy beavers.
Yes! Yes! I tried to give him something that he would like at least hesitate to say.
Yes. Yes. And that is the name of my title for my portion of the script. So, the film had its worldwide premiere on April 19th, 2014 at the Tribeca Film Festival and was theatrically released in the U.S. on March 20th, 2015. In December 2014, the film was released on DVD.
Such a weird schedule.
That is really
weird.
It's
odd, right?
Yeah.
I remember when this came out and Captain America Winter Soldier, like, around the same time. Yeah. I think it was, like, spring 2014. I was pumped for both, but I only saw one.
Which one was?
Rotten Tomatoes reports that 70% of 37 surveyed critics gave the film a, quote, positive review. The average rating a 5.90 out of 10.
That's sad.
Yeah. The consensus read, quote, Zombievers obviously isn't high art, but it delivers just enough of the gory insanity promised by the title to earn a recommendation for genre fans, end quote.
It knows what it is.
Yeah.
It knows what it is.
Self-aware before self-aware became, you know.
Super, self-aware.
Yeah, the self-aware. Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Webster. See? Man, we're a great fucking team, man. Rob Hunter of Film School Rejects called the film,
just
quote,
a boy band.
Funny, smart, consistently entertaining, end quote. And yes, we will be starting a boy band. On the other hand, Variety gave Zombievers a mostly negative review, of course, Variety, come on, commenting that, quote, this debut feature for stand-up and sketch comedy vet Ruben is not without flashes of ingenuity, but the one-joke premise wears thin. Even before the mercifully brief 76-minute running time is up. End quote. Seems kind of brutal. However, the critic adds that, quote, Zombievers is not a total wash and seen at night under the right combination of low expectations and controlled substances. It may even seem better than it really is.
That's the most backhanded compliment.
Yeah. Under condition
drunk, you'll love this movie.
Yeah.
That's like saying, listen, if you drink like four beers, she's kind of hot.
Yeah. But really? I mean, yeah.
Anthony.
Fellas, we've all been there.
Yeah.
One of us a whole lot more recently.
Some more than others.
They're pointing at me. Don't worry.
I'm like, you're the two that are fucking Eskimo brothers over here.
I forgot about
is
that.
This
yeah.
Have we talked about this on air?
We
on the
absolutely
podcast?
Have not. Would you like to tell? Oh. Would you like to spill the beans?
Shit.
I would like some story time on this
Trash Month episode. Okay, let's get a little trashy here, Breeze.
Yeah, this is pretty trashy.
This is pretty trashy, but I think everybody needs to hear it.
It was about a year ago where I was telling the guys that I went out with a woman and who worked at a sex shop. And then Webster over here was like, hey, what's her name? And I'm not going to say the name. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then Webster goes, no shit. What does she look like? So I described her. And Webster was like, oh my God, I went out with the same girl too. And I was like, what?
To be fair, I went out with her first.
Yay!
Dang, dude.
So basically, like in Office Space, well, Lumberg fucked her. And now, when I heard about Webster, Webster, like, I was, like, at, like, you know, asleep and just imagining Webster's like, hey, Phil, how's it going with a leg for a while? Well, I'm going to need you to finish those CPS reports. Yeah, that's the way it's better. All right, catch you later.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Couldn't go to sleep that night when I found this out. So, yeah, long story short, we are Eskimo Brothers.
We're Eskimo Brothers.
Yeah.
That is lovely.
That is lovely. Share more than just a podcast.
Stop gripping the mic, Phil.
I completely forgot about that too until it came up.
Yeah.
It's like almost like a fun fact I get to keep in my pocket.
And that's the first. Not to mention all the men you guys shared also.
Yeah.
Like
all the men. Yeah. Dude. Yeah. There's so many men.
See a lot of guys.
I see a lot of guys too. let's continue, shall we?
Oh yeah.
Anyway. All right, but really. Who gives a shit about what the critics say when this movie is what the way it is?
What the way?
What the way?
Of what the movie the way it is. Let's hear what the people really think. Guys, it's letterbox time.
Excellent.
Let's do it.
We're great answer to that sentence.
From great execution.
What?
No,
what the what time what the, is it, Phil?
Did you guys see the video like I sent you of Stone Cold Steve Austin about
it's Michael
places?
Cole?
I'm going to be going to the water burger.
No right. Notes. Continue.
Zombievers has a 2.3 out of 5 stars out of 14,543 votes.
Kind of a lot.
That's a lot.
It's a lot for a very low rating.
Leticia Fernandez with 1 star says, a bunch of dudes at the writing table. Quote, so let's make this one scene where the beaver attacks the girl and like starts crawling in her direction, but like her legs are spread open. So it's like, looks like the beaver's going to eat her by the vagina because, get it? A beaver eating another beaver. All dudes, high five.
Hey, yeah, let's fucking go.
End quote. That's how we write our movies, guys. Moving on up.
Alex is moving on everybody up.
From Brian.
Everyone's getting the finger.
Moving on up from Brian Espedia.
.com. We've covered
I had to say it. I had to say it.
We've used this guy's reviews before.
Espedia?
Yeah. I think we've butchered his last name every time.
Espedia.
Espedia.
With 3.5 stars saying, we cannot turn against each other right now. That's exactly what the beavers would want.
He's not wrong.
That is a great
quote.
I love that part.
That is a great quote.
So stupid. Yeah.
So dumb.
Spoken by the douchiest character I've ever seen. God.
Have you guys seen Glass Onion yet?
Yes.
No.
The quote that's like going around the internet where Daniel Craig's like, oh, it's so dumb. And what's her name? 10 Things I Hate About You.
Kate Hudson.
She's like, it's so dumb, it's brilliant. And then Daniel Craig goes, no! It's just dumb!
I have seen that, and it's very funny.
Yes,
great
yes.
movie.
Great quote. Knives Out was better, but that's a whole other cover.
I haven't seen Knives Out. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. You've seen Glass Onion, but you've never seen Knives Out?
Yeah.
What? How does that work?
What the fuck?
Very curious.
They put on Glass Onion. We don't want to fucking do.
Do some favor, throw Knives Out.
It's because he's dumb.
It's
no! He's just dumb!
He's just dumb!
So dumb, it's kind of brilliant.
No!
Somebody,
I saw somebody made a meme of that one scene, and for Daniel Craig, they just wrote the letter society, or the word society, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for the Kate Hudson character, they photoshopped Taika Waititi's face. He's like, people talking about Love and Thunder.
Oh.
He's like, it's so dumb. And then Taika Waititi, it's so dumb, it's brilliant.
No!
It's just dumb!
I still have not seen Love and Thunder.
Neither have I.
Very...
You haven't seen Love and Thunder?
I haven't even seen Black Panther. Dude, I did not see... Besides, if your name is not Batman, Daddy Pattinson, I'm kind of... Yeah, I've been kind of lagging.
I would say make it a point to see Black Panther. And you can just go ahead and skip Love and Thunder.
Okay. I feel like I need to definitely see Black Panther.
I'm pretty burnt out on superhero shit. Got it.
It's on Disney Plus now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Unless it is
Robert Daddy Pattinson as the Batman.
Give me some skin. That's what I'm talking about, dude.
Eskimo Brothers.
Eskimo Bros.
Dude, for this episode, you guys are Beaver Bros.
You are Beaver Bros.
You're Beaver Bros.
I feel like that's slightly slightly, so that's actually a little bit less offensive than Step Brothers.
This is more accurate, honestly.
It's more accurate, honestly.
It is more
accurate. I feel like we should have all read this episode as, like, frat guys.
Like, really, dude? Like
Leticia Fernandez's quote right here, the way she made it sound like.
Another beaver. Is eating a beaver.
All dudes
high five. Yo, what's up, dude? Beaver eating a beaver, you know what I mean?
All right, let's continue. User Andy in a positive review with, albeit, no stars.
I bet. The Krusty Kanes got it. It's been so long since the Krusty Kanes have come out that my dad brings it up about every couple of months.
Yeah, that's great.
Listen to our Independence Day episode
for that
misquote.
Gem.
Yeah.
Crustaceans, by the way.
Mispronunciation.
The Krusty Kanes.
User Andy with a quote says, whoever came up with the quote, it's just those kids scissoring each other to Lady Gaga, end quote, deserves endless amount of praise.
There are some really funny one-liners.
There are some. It knows how dumb it is.
Dude, I mean, my favorite one is probably when, like, the old dude, the hunter guy, goes into the bedroom, finds the old lady dead.
Okay.
Dude, I fucking lost my shit.
So did I. I was like, that was amazing.
Brilliant.
He had an even better one. The bloopers.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, that's fucked up.
Which I almost would have preferred.
They both would have worked out great, honestly. You just had to flip the coin which one you're going with.
Is the old lady okay? Yeah, she's still asleep upstairs. What's left of her. So good.
All right. And finally, with 2.5 stars, Zach says, quote, when you realize that the zombie beavers have intentionally chewed through the phone lines, it dawns on you that you're watching something special. I love that one.
That moment where I was just like, this is really stupid.
Like, they're cutting the phone lines. Yeah.
The zombievers have enough sentience to know what phones are and that they should cut the phone lines and where the phone lines are.
I thought it was brilliant. It's so dumb. No!
It's just dumb. Us about that move, about zombievers.
Yes. Alright, the film quickly became a cult favorite for its unique concept, but terrible execution from the acting to the puppeteering, and thus...
How dare they? Puppeteering was fantastic.
I thought it was pretty cool.
I mean, the bar is in hell, yes. As I have said.
Yes.
But like the puppeteering, like it fits with the tone of the movie.
Well, yeah, definitely.
That's what I mean. Definitely. Like, it's not like, you know, no. fucking.
It's not elaborate. Yeah. It's not elaborate.
Of course. And thus, Zombievers went down in infamy, and now we're here talking about it in no other month but Trash Month, baby.
Hey.
And may I just say, Alex? Wow! I can't.
Read it.
No.
Wow! And may I just say, Alex Webster, thank you for putting this outline together. Your charm and wit has given me a change of heart, and I have an announcement to make.
What is that, Phil? Oh my gosh!
Alex was right. The Thorn Trilogy is not that great.
Wow.
That's incredible.
He turned a whole leaf on this whole thing. It's amazing.
I told you, if you wrote something, I would read it. I'm not going to, you know...
I'm Ron Burgundy.
But God damn it, Webster gave me a taste of my own medicine.
Wow. Fuck with me?
And now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's dive into the plot. Anthony, please... Take it away.
Oh, it's plot time, baby. Let's fucking go. Let's do it. All right. And we're going to start off with two of the most high-profile actors here.
Yeah. Well, a high-profile actor next to one of the most accomplished musicians ever.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so...
I do want to say, Phil, you are such a good champ for saying what I wrote, which I was not expecting.
I was expecting some protest.
I was expecting some protest.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you put the three dots after the Thorn Trilogy is, because in the middle of that pause, I was like, are you going to say it, Phil, or are you not? And I'm like, you know what? Be a good sport, because You usually read what I make you write, or what I usually read out what I make when I write.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it works.
You only hurt his soul a little
bit. I make you write what I read. You read good.
I make you write. I make you read.
You can't speak
what the what?
I cannot speak.
What?
I've been up since 4:45 this morning.
Jesus Christ.
Listen, I've also been up since like 5, so I hear you.
Same.
Yes. But anyway, without any further
I'm doing pretty good, actually.
Yeah. We're making it happen.
Go all the more, Phil.
While transporting toxic chemicals, a pair of truckers, of course, played by Bill Burr and John Mayer, in a wonderful, like, just improv between them.
Yes.
Talking about gay sex.
Yes, that's right. You know that was an improv. I fucked a guy once.
Yeah.
I was in a relationship with a guy.
Yeah. That sounds like me. He's like, whoa. I'm not talking about you.
Paradise for
one
weekend.
That was one time.
Yeah.
It's a one time thing.
A pair of truckers strike a deer and lose one of their canisters. It rolls into a river, floats downstream, and splashes several beavers at their dam.
This is
a radioactive canister of sorts. Now, later, college students Mary, Zoe, and Jen drive at Mary's cousin's cabin near the dam. Although Zoe and Jen are distraught that there's no cell phone coverage, Mary insists that they spend the next 2 days without interruptions from technology or boys.
Boys.
Oh no, not the boys.
Oh, no.
With, of course, their like archaic texting technology. A UI I've never seen before.
They're using T9 for sure in this movie.
Yeah, it's great. This is a 2012 movie right here.
Yep.
So while swimming at the lake, the girls discover the beaver dam. When Jen swims closer to see a beaver, they are surprised by a bear.
Oh, God, not a beaver.
Mm-mm-mm.
And this is where we get, like, it's covered in, like, green toxic waste. And they're just like, what is that? And it's like, maybe it's beaver piss. And they're like, do beavers piss bright green? And they're like, I guess so. It's so stupid. It is so dumb.
It is pretty dumb. Absolutely. So, Smith, a local hunter.
With a Y.
With a Y, that's right. Smith scares...
Because he spelled it out, in case you're going to rat me a check someday.
Smith with a Y.
Scares off the bear and admonishes the girls to stay away from the beavers and dress a little more appropriately. And I love, like, they're just like, is he a perv? Like, what's going on here? Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like, rural as fuck.
Well, the second he's just like, and you guys should cover up. And then, like, they're just like, all right, he's a perv, gotta go. Yeah.
There was, like, a whole scene about, like, just, like, the whole titty etiquette, too, right? Around
sure.
Mm-hmm. They're like, put something on, maybe we can borrow yours, and just, the tits are just out full frame. It's great. Great stuff.
You will not hear any complaining from this side of the table about this.
You represent the whole side right there. That's good.
He's speaking for both of us.
Yes. I am representing us,
the Beaver Bros.
The Beaver Bros. I'm speaking on one behalf of the Beaver Bros.
As one of the Beaver Bros, I must say.
I am the Beaver Bro. I speak for the trees.
I'm here representing the dam as one of the Beaver Bros.
Oh,
oh,
this is good. Okay.
Fuck.
At night, the girls' very obnoxious boyfriends, Buck, Tommy, and Sam,
douchebag,
douche chill, arrive and play a prank on them. Annoyed, Mary orders them to leave, but Zoe, who knew they were coming, insists they stay because Zoe, kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
She's like a super, super mega bitch until towards the end of the movie where I'm just like, you go, Zoe!
This movie does a good job of the subversion, I would say, for sure. But Jen talks Mary into letting them stay as she wants to resolve her relationship issues with Sam.
Douchebag.
Who has cheated on her.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes, she's been basically heartbroken this whole freaking movie. But as the couple separate, Jen leaves to take a shower, only to be attacked by a beaver.
What
happens, James? What goes on from here?
Well, let me tell you. Tommy kills said beaver with a baseball bat. Mind you, this was arguably one of the dumbest parts of the movie because he's killing it with a bat, but for some reason the bat turns into an axe and he saws a beaver in half with it.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, so as he's hitting it, the beaver starts to separate and like cut open as if he's literally sawing it, and I was like, all right, you're using a bat, you're going to break its bones, you're going to smash it, but it's not going to get sawed in half.
Tommy's like the jockey kind of character, right?
Doesn't matter. I'm just pointing out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, anyway. So Tommy kills him with a baseball bat. But Jen and Mary feel something is wrong with it beyond rabies. Dun, dun, dun. They put the corpse in a bag and put it outside on the porch. In the morning, they discover the beaver is missing.
Oh no!
And Jen insists that it was not merely eaten by wildlife. All but Jen goes swimming in the lake. Sam and Mary discuss whether to tell Jen about their affair, but they are interrupted when beavers chew off Buck's foot and scratch Tommy, which is so damn funny. Because his foot floating to the top of the water made me laugh.
That was hilarious.
So unbelievably hard.
Like, he didn't realize it until it floated. Yeah, he's like, oh my god, my foot!
By the way, Buck is like the most annoying fucking character.
Yeah.
Like, he's supremely, like, douchiest of the douche.
He was in the lake with a beanie on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry, but...
The guy who threw... Yeah.
Well, I'll get to what Sam does, but that guy can fucking...
Yeah.
Sam's the most annoying.
Oh, very much so.
But and Buck is just, like, the like more, like, art school, like, just dweeby annoying.
Right. Dweeby annoying. I like the way you put that, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, the same beaver that attacked Jen earlier chases her back to the house. Oh, no. She pins it to the counter with a knife, but not before it scratches her leg.
Oh, no.
Not the leg.
What could that mean for later?
I don't know. So Sam, douchebag, throws Zoe's dog into the water as a distraction. By the way, this made me laugh uncontrollably, like hard, because he was like, surf's up.
Surf's up. He said that. What a fucking asshole.
Swim for your life.
And then, like, the dog getting killed.
Yeah.
It was so good.
Because the dog's, like, going for a while. You're like, is the dog going to fucking...
I thought he was going to get out.
Is he going to escape?
It was... And then there's a really funny moment in the blooper reel where the dog is actually trying to hang out with the beaver. Yeah.
The dog is not afraid of the beaver animatronics.
Yeah, it's great. It was so anyway. Funny. Sam, douchebag, throws Zoe's dog in the water as a distraction, and the rest of the group flee to the house, where they realize the beavers have cut the phone
lines. They cut the phone lines!
They know how to cut phone lines!
Yes, because they're like, we're gonna stop these people. As zombie beavers surround the house, Tommy offers to leave with Buck to get help, and Zoe accompanies him.
He's not gonna make it through the night! He's cuddling his own foot on the couch!
Yeah, right? Their drive is interrupted as the beavers bring down a tree in the road. Which is great. And Tommy sets off on foot, only to be crushed by another fallen tree.
Again, so funny. You just hear a tree fall and just like a crushing sound, and it's just him like kind of twitching under the tree.
Oh, that's great.
Also, Tommy's like, okay, so there was a little bit of a yada yada here, but Zoe, who's like super pissed that supreme douchebag Sam, sacrificed her dog. She's just like, by the way, Sam cheated on you with none other than dorky glasses
yes,
girl.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there was like a whole like, you know, soap opera thing.
Melrose Place thing going on.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes. That's a subplot right there.
Melrose,
yes.
Melrose Place. Wow.
I'm old.
Yeah.
He's like, I gotta stick to what I know. I'm in my 30s.
It was on before the Man Show, okay?
It was right after the Simpsons.
It was either gonna be that or 90210, man.
I mean, both of those.
Look, alright. What, Gilmore Girls, does that help? Is that
what? No.
Degrassi. I don't know.
Degrassi.
You're digging yourself a deeper hole.
Grey's Anatomy.
I would have gone with Degrassi.
No, I don't know. Natalie watches that.
At least Grey's Anatomy is still in the air.
I don't know.
Still in the air?
Anyway.
Jesus.
Yeah, I
Smith
know.
With a Y rescues Buck and Zoe, and they drive in this pickup truck to return to the house, which has been boarded up by the others. Phil, what happens next?
Oh, God. Well, you're not going to believe this, man. Unable to enter it, they go to the neighbor's house. They discover the neighbors are dead, and their phone lines are also cut, dude.
No, the beavers got the phone lines.
Yes. As a result of her wounds, Jen turns into a beaver-like zombie and attacks Mary, which was a funny... They even gave her the bug teeth.
Yeah.
That was a really cool moment, like the prosthetics.
I'm going to be honest, for a split second, I thought it was a dream sequence. I'm like, they're not that creative. And then it was like, for real. Because
I'm like, are we about to get a sex scene? Like, this turned a whole 180 right now.
I was like, okay, girl on girl action. Yeah. What's going on in the room? I was like, whoa,
BCLE, nah. No, but I do like that she's kind of like the protagonist for like the most of the movie, and they subvert. They're like, oh, by the way, the protagonist now just knock her out.
Yeah,
like, she's gone. She's
I like that little twist right there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty cool.
I did enjoy that.
Yeah. Mm. And as Jen's saliva falls into Mary's mouth, giggity, Sam rescues Mary by hitting Jen from behind.
Giggity, awesome, also. Giggity.
Mary and Sam lock themselves in the bathroom and check each other for scratches. Satisfied that neither is wounded, they begin to have sex.
Holy shit!
Hell yeah! But Jen interrupts them and kills Sam by biting off his fucking cock!
It was honestly a great scene.
By the way, I was...
His fucking cock!
I would have given this 0 out of 5 if that guy had survived.
Yeah.
But the fact that he died in the most brutal fashion, I was like, Oscar.
It was a satisfying death.
Oh my
Dude.
God.
Oscar.
Absolutely. I was like,
the fucking golf clap. Yes. The fucking Oscar.
Yes, Oscar. Because he killed the... He sacrificed the fucking dog, man. And I
he
was
needed
like,
to die. He needed to die bad.
He's like a noted cheater for like the gang.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he was annoying, and he was the most douchebaggest, fucking biggest...
Terrible fucking actor, too. I was like, this is shitty acting.
Kind of aggressive with the fucking Jen, too.
His acting was so fucking...
Oh my god, he like chases her down the hall, grabs her arm, and he's like, you're gonna love me and you're gonna like it. Like,
he was rapey, and he got his dick bit off, and he killed the dog.
Deserved.
And that's what he did.
Deserved.
Vengeance is ours.
Very satisfying death. However, meanwhile, Buck turns into a zombie and attacks Smith with a Y. Zoe escapes by jumping through a window, bloodying herself in the process. As a beaver accidentally sets Mary's cousin's house on fire.
Which also made me laugh uncontrollably.
Oh, yeah, the beaver is like poking at a freaking.
At a socket.
Yes.
Catches on fire
and runs into the curtain.
Like, okay. I was like, yes, here we go.
And while all that's going down, Sam rises as a zombie. Once Mary kills Sam, she reunites with Zoe. Smith, with a Y, now zombified, shoots at them as they flee in his truck. A full, you know, zombie knows how to shoot, and he knows how to...
Oh, yeah.
He keeps that thing on him.
He's he's not full zombiever yet.
Yes, no.
He's human zombie beaver that knows how to fire a gun.
Human trials of the zombiever... antidote or something like that, if that makes sense. Jen jumps on top of the truck, but Zoe runs her over. Together, Mary and Zoe reach the spot where Tommy died and turned into a zombie.
My question is, why did Tommy turn into a zombie?
The one the tree just fell on him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he could have been bit, like, in the...
I guess.
Yeah, we just didn't see off-screen.
I mean, is that really the thing you're worrying about? Yeah.
I'm
going
to get hung. No, this is the one thing I need to know.
Radioactive trees. Bam. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
There it is.
They pissed on the tree.
Yep.
And now he's just a regular zombie. Just a regular human zombie.
Yep.
Exactly.
All while with the road blocked, they decided to just walk. And that fucking rhymed. And that was an accidental rhyme. That was a happy accident. Believing that Zoe may be bitten due to her bloody appearance, Mary holds her at gunpoint with a pistol recovered from Smith with a Wythe's truck. As Zoe protests that she is not infected, Mary begins changing into a goddamn zombie. Zoe kills her with an axe. And just walks away.
I actually loved this scene too. Yeah. That was nice.
That was a good one.
That was another good subversion.
Subversion,
I like that. I was, out of everybody here, I thought, Zoe was gonna be like the first one to get murked.
Yes.
Yeah.
For real.
She plays the archetype in
that
way.
I was like, dude, you got the first one with the tits out. That's the one that's going out for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And no, dude. Nope. She ends up being the fucking goddamn final girl.
She had a lot of smarts about her that I think lended to her staying alive, which is funny considering that, like, you're right, in the beginning, like, it's played up. She's like, I'm the ditzy one with the freaking dog. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
The boobies.
And the boobies.
Yes. All right, on the road, she encounters the same truckers who had earlier dropped the canister. Our boys, Bill Burr and...
John Mayer.
I almost forgot his name for a second. Thank you. And they run her over accidentally, which
it's
I thought was
because Bill Burr's texting and driving.
Yes. And he's like, I see it.
Full circle
narrative.
Beautiful. Now that's how you write a fucking script.
Yep.
In a post-credit scene, a honeybee becomes infected from a corpse and returns to its hive in a zombified state.
Oh, shit.
Now that is what I call goddamn cinema.
So zombie-verse. Oh, or since it wasn't in the outline, right before Smith with a Y shoots at the girls, there's also the zombie bear.
Oh, yeah?
Zombie-ver bear.
Yeah.
So could it be zombie Bearverse?
There you go.
Zombearverse?
There we go.
Honey zombies?
And if Bill Burr gets infected, he can be a zomber?
Wow.
Okay. Discussion? Right. Are we going to discussion?
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
What does she see in both of you?
Damn.
Oh, my God.
That's cold. Real cold.
And he pointed at both of us, too.
I know,
one
like,
finger each.
Like, what did you see in both of you? Fucking cold. All right. Kicking off discussion, not with Flynn, because he's a douchebag. Thoughts on Zombievers.
I'm going to be honest here. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I like genuinely love this movie. It took a while to get to the point, which kind of bothered me. But other than that, I'm like... Dude, it was corny as hell. The animatronics were great. Mm-hmm. The puppeteering was great. Like, the prosthetics were great. Even the little Swing Beaver song at the end was great. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys, like, listened to it.
I did.
Right. I was like, this is great.
The fucking, like, doo-wop.
Yes.
Like,
the Beaver song.
Yes. Oh, that was great.
That was great. The full circle narrative was great.
Yep.
The cameos were great. I love this movie.
Yeah.
This movie has so much heart.
It does.
It's a lot of heart.
It does.
And I
love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I don't know if it's... I loved it more because Thanksgiving 3 was so bad that this one was just like a breath of fresh air. But honestly, as far as it being like a crappy, campy horror movie, mm-hmm. I thought it checked all the boxes.
It checked a lot of boxes. You're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Zombievers, more like Zomb Cinema. That's my thought.
Okay, that made me laugh.
Wow.
That's my thoughts.
Are those your official...
No more pointing at just you two. What is she seeing that motherfucker?
Damn. I wanted... Like, I really liked this movie, actually. Like, yeah. I wanted to like this movie, and I didn't. It was super fun. Yeah. I will say, even though this movie was, like, barely, like, a touch over an hour, there was
hour
at one point where I was just like, why does this movie feel so much longer than that?
I think it's because that fact, it was a short hour, like 17 minutes or whatever, but it literally took like 30 minutes for us like to see the beavers start doing their zombie beaver thing.
A fireworks factory element. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was just the overall pacing where it's like, it could have been trimmed down a bit. But
the beginning, I think, dragged a lot where like they were just like, no, we're going to go to this cabin and it's just going to be us and there's going to be no boys. Yeah. And it's just like, okay,
if they would have just showed up at the cabin, the boys would have already been there and then it would have been like, let's get to the point. Boom.
Yeah.
They cut out 17 minutes of the whole movie, though, so, you know, it's just an hour special.
Hey, but still, it still would have worked.
Yeah. But no, I actually had a lot of fun with this. I can absolutely see why this has a much higher rating than freaking Thanksgiving 3.
Yeah.
I had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was a good one,
This was good. Yeah. This one I can actually watch again. I just wish I was... In 2014, seeing this at a theater, stoned out of my mind, man.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That would have been great.
Like, destroyed. Absolutely. Yes. That would have been a lot of fun. Yeah.
I wish I was more into horror films in 2014, because I would have... I think I also would have really enjoyed this, but if I had seen this movie in 2014, I would have been like, what the fuck is this? Mm-hmm. Like, I would have hated it. I have since relaxed a bit.
we've definitely, yes, over the course of the podcast is one of those things where even I feel like I'm like, hey, you know, it's pretty good.
I think that, I mean, to be, I think a horror fan, I think after a certain point, you're just like, you know what, I'm going to gotta lower your standards.
Yeah. But also, nice place to live at right there. Not bad. Yeah. I love how it plays with tropes, though. This movie did tropes so well compared to a lot of movies that with bigger budgets, like... There's been 4 Texas Chainsaw sequels that have tried to do what this movie does.
Mm-hmm.
There's been 4.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes, exactly what you said. Like, the tropes thing, like, the whole time I was watching it, I was like, I want to, like, make a list of, like, all the tropes that they're hitting on right now.
They're hitting and breaking pretty good.
They're hit, like, yeah,
almost Cabin in the Woods esque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, but with way less money. With way less so money.
Not Joss Whedon money.
No, definitely not Joss Whedon money. Yeah, no CG in this one. But it was one of those things where, like, dude, the first act of this movie, which we all thought was, like, yeah, probably the most boring act.
Yeah, yeah.
The same act that's been in, like, so many horror movies. And they're like, okay, cool. But also the beaver's going to cut the phone lines because we're not going to explain it.
Because fuck you, that's why.
Because fuck you, that's why. And honestly, great. From there on, I'd say, again, it feels appropriate length for what it is, but it really picks up.
Is it an appropriate length?
Once you see the beavers. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. appropriate length for the beavers.
No, this is once you see the length, then you see the beavers.
It's an appropriate length. Good.
Not too long.
God damn it.
Yeah, good. Honestly, yeah. I'd watch it again.
Yeah,
I'd watch it again with the bros absolutely on my projector. Absolutely. I would do that. That even would be
after,
fun.
Even after the weekend you had?
Oh, I'd do it with the same level of fucking booze. Now we'd get turned even quicker, honestly. Yeah, honestly, no, the Royal Rumble was nice. I think the Royal Rumble being good made us drink more. Yeah.
And besides, we only watched like the women's Royal Rumble.
We missed the dudes one.
But none of us complained. We're like, okay. Hell yeah.
The women's was like,
whoa.
Yeah, Adrian popped in during it. Yeah. All of us were just like, let's fucking go.
We were all had like our jaws dropped for like Rhea Ripley. And
yeah, I was going to say, it was like, okay, Rhea Ripley, yeah. you had to look at her.
No, it was good. No complaints on this side of the table.
Take them down. Yeah. Do your stuff.
All right. Moving right along then. So far we've discussed two movies for Trash Month, both about animals behaving poorly. Thoughts on this trend in trashy films, considering where the rest of the month is taking us?
I think that's what, like, makes a ridiculously good horror movie is you take an animal that has no business killing people in the way that zombie beavers would, mm-hmm. and that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You know, like, mm-hmm. just make it an animal that's, like, docile for the most part, yeah. and that's not gonna do this, and go, let's just make it kill everybody.
I don't know, man. Turkeys look scary as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, beavers, you know. Turkeys, like, there's videos of turkeys running at people, like...
No, turkeys are super aggressive, that's why I'm just, like, they're scary as hell.
Yeah, like, beavers are just, they're just there.
You see Davis, my alma mater, that it had turkey gangs that would roam around the campus.
Like, blood
you
in,
see
blood
Davis,
out.
My alma mater.
Yeah. Turkey gangs, yeah. There would be, like, a crew of turkeys, and people were like, fuck, we gotta cross the street. Because if you come across these turkey gangs, they'll literally just, like, start circling.
They're
like,
what's up, like,
they'll gobble at you. They just gobble at you. Yeah.
I was going to say, at UCR, we would not have tolerated that bullshit.
Oh, no, all the animals took over. The squirrels, everything.
We didn't have turkeys, but we had the UCR donkeys.
Yeah, do you see our donkeys?
Oh, there's donkeys for sure. Donkeys.
What? Yeah, they were just wild donkeys. Just
those are the Mobile donkeys too. They come from, they climb literally from one
campus?
Side of Marina Valley to UCR.
Jose Enrique's brother's friend, well, our friend too. He always takes pictures of them. They go and hang out in front of his house. He lives right around the corner from UCR.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they're just there all the time. Like, they were just roaming.
Donkeys go to my parents' neighborhood.
Feral donkeys,
yeah.
huh?
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah, no, we had the same thing with turkeys.
I never saw
turkeys.
Beavers. I was just going to say, this is a great pitch for a zombie donkeys movie. Yes. I like the element of surprise of just taking something cute and turning it into something aggressive, murderous, mm-hmm. you know, something that you just wanted to. If somebody were to surprise me with a fucking maniac zombified Paddington movie, like, I'd be there to watch
it. Pretty
dude.
Good.
I mean, shit. Just you take something cute, cuddly, and mm-hmm. flip a 180 on it.
Okay, all
right. It's not even like they were like, we're gonna make these zombies, like, have rabies and they're gonna attack people. They're like, no.
We're going
to make
the extreme
zombies.
Level.
Yes. And then they're going to fuck everybody up.
Well, and they know about phone lines.
And they know about phone lines. And if you're a zombie human thing, you can still shoot a gun.
Only if you, like, final stages.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know. So my thought is, in this movie, or like in all the, like, trashy animal, you know, bad movies. Trash Month. Mm-hmm. Animals, like, obviously get the brunt of it, but then if you want to see a horror movie with an animal in it that's, like, genuine, the only one I could really think of is Cujo.
Like Jaws.
Oh, okay, okay.
Jaws, yeah. There's Jaws, Cujo, but I feel like it's a lot rarer to see...
Lake Placid.
I've never seen
but Lake Placid. But, like, Lake Placid's cheesy also, so is Deep Blue Sea. Like, it has to be... There's an element of cheese.
Right, but that's the thing. It's like,
they're 100% cheesy.
The Meg.
The Meg. He punches the shark.
Yeah, that's very
in
true.
In Deep Blue Sea?
No, in the Meg.
That's... Oh, isn't that the one with Jason Statham? Yeah.
Can't wait till we cover Deep Blue Sea, though.
We were on the cruise watching that in our cabin, and... I think Enrique said he's like, damn, he transported the shit out of that show.
Oh, Reeks.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, that was good. Good. And, we were drunk as hell. We fucking were dying. We were dying for like 10 minutes straight.
Dude, those movies are fucking awesome. That. Yeah. The transporter movies are sick.
Those are the
John Wick movies of the early 2000s.
That's true. They were.
Very good.
And there's going to be a Meg 2, by the way.
Oh, of course
there is.
Yeah.
But you know what, you bring a really good point, because those prestige ones that are very rare, like, when they play up the creature part, mm-hmm. it's really realistic and fucking scary.
Yeah.
The Cujo dog scene is always scary.
Yeah.
Jaws, like, the boat scene, there's still times where we're like, fuck!
Well, to this day, I know people who are scared of sharks because of Jaws.
Mm-hmm,
You know? Yes.
I think...
That is literally me.
Yeah. Yeah, but with all this stuff, it's a good opportunity for gore effects.
Mm.
So, if you know, gore effects with the budget... If you can frame it and you have, like, a director,
mm-hmm.
they'll make you scared to shit.
Yeah.
But, like, anybody else has a little bit of money and wants to do gore effects, they can make it pretty fun.
Yeah.
Like, and that's not where I think these movies really succeed. They 100%. Can, they get, like, that stimuli there, and they're like, okay, cool, but let's, like, bullshit it a little
bit. And visually, you're speaking really good tones here, too, because, like, by framing it right and getting the composition right,
mm-hmm.
getting the right cool angles, you can really make something very terrifying, but mm-hmm. I don't think that was kind of the case here.
Oh, no, definitely, and not for a lot of the other ones either. It's just like,
this was like, hey, we got some money to spend, let's fucking have fun with this shit, you know, mm-hmm. like...
You could tell that they just wanted to have fun, and they did, and I think they accomplished what they wanted to do, 100%. And I think at the end of the day, that's what matters.
No, yes. Absolutely. Yes. Bloopers say it all. The bloopers say it all.
The blooper says that it just shows like they had a great time on set. I would love to be on that set. Just to chill, drink coffee, and just laugh my ass off.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I'm going to defer to the fun section of the game.
Yay.
Or of the game, of the podcast. What is your scariest animal experience? Was it zombies? Feel free to ruminate on this for a moment. I have mine.
I have mine if you guys need
to. Go for it. I have no idea.
When I was 6, my fear of sharks was born.
Because
a week after my dad showed me Jaws, I was like, what the fuck? Those things are in the water? We go to SeaWorld.
Yeah.
And we go into the goddamn tunnel, the glass
tunnel.
And there's sharks everywhere. And I'm fucking already traumatized, right? I'm already like scared shitless. After the tunnels, you can actually see the sharks in the railing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, if you look over, you'll see the sharks right there. And there's, like, security right there, blah, 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 blah. And I'm just, like, out of curiosity, I just look over the railing. I'm like, oh, I think I see the sharks. I'm like, my dad fucking lifts me up and he goes, by the legs. And I'm holding on to the rail for dear life. He's like, hey, I'm gonna drop him into the ocean. Hey, look, there's the sharks. And I'm like, Dad, no. I have, like, these quarters. They fall into the goddamn water. And I'm like, Dad. And then, like, my mom's like, Felipe, let him go. And the security's like, sir, put the kid down. Sir, put the kid down.
Is this your child?
Don't throw your son into the goddamn sharks. And he was just, like, joking around, right? Like, a roughhouse thing. But holy fuck, dude. That's, like, the scariest, like, moment
that's
of my life.
That's such a Mexican dad thing.
Yeah, no, he was like, hey, I'm going to
that's a Mexican dad thing
right
there.
I was like, hey, look at this guy.
Like, that's fucking hair is chest now. Look at me coming back.
He knew that I was scared of sharks already, and he just took advantage of that even more.
I have such fond memories of the Shark Lagoon at SeaWorld that I find that amusing.
Sure. I'm sure you do.
No. We would vacation to SeaWorld also. I know that was your home.
I was gonna say I lived there.
Yeah.
Yeah, no way. It was like a glass tunnel where you walk through and all these fucking gigantic ass fucking sharks everywhere.
You could also pet baby sharks. It was really tight.
That's gross. I would have just taken and field goal kicked one of those things, man, because sharks are gross.
I love sharks.
You're wrong.
I think I can't say what I think. For me,
yes.
My scariest animal experience was actually in a dream. I was getting chased by a killer moth.
Oh.
Okay. And it was like one of those dreams where, like, if you move, like, you can't, like, your legs won't move. Mm-hmm. I was like,
I hate those.
Five. Like, this was, mm-hmm. I was, this is like my early, this is like an early traumatic dream memory. And I remember I was like trying to run and I couldn't. And I was like outside of my apartment. And I was trying to run into my apartment. And like, I just knew that if this moth, like, got to me, if it touched me, it would kill me. Like, I had this, I had this implicit knowledge.
The moth is lava.
The moth is lava. And I knew if it touched me, it would kill me because it would bite me and it was going to kill me.
No way.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty terrifying.
Oh, no, no, no. It gets worse. I cannot move. I'm trying to run and I'm like, I just need to get into my apartment. Mm-hmm. I just have to like try and I'm like trying. And right as I'm about to get in, right as I'm about to go, the moth gets to me and I wake up.
Oh, one of them. Yes.
And to this day, like, again, this was over 20 years ago. Oh, and this dream is cemented in my brain.
Isn't that weird when they, like, they stay for decades?
Yeah.
No,
I will remember this dream for the rest of my life. No, I don't know why. It was like that dream was so traumatic.
Do you guys have dreams like that?
I have like three in the arsenal.
I got one that's like over 20 years old. When did the Ang Lee Hulk movie come out? 2003? Yeah. Jesus. So, I've got one where I was getting beat up by that fucking Hulk. Like,
Jesus. And then right before the last fucking hit, just,
My alert for 6:55. I was so excited for the movie that I was like, fuck yeah, we're seeing it tomorrow. The dream I had that night was like me getting burned. And then the movie sucked. Yeah.
No, for my animal experience, it's very brief. Like, I don't really have too many terrifying encounters, but there is one interesting one. When I was 7, I visited my grandmother in Missouri, and she had a farm. She had a giant fucking farm with like bulls, and we did horse riding, and she had a pond where we could fish. Like, she's crazy. She's a crazy old lady that has all these big ass farm. And yeah, I love her, but she's very religious. Very religious. So we go through her field of wheat. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Like, we're driving the fucking Jeep. I'm in the passenger seat. She's like, Mijo, go in front. I'm like, oh, hell yeah, cool. We're going front. And we're going through the field. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she's like, oh, we're going to put the windows up. And we're going to go through. I'm like, what were you going to do that for? She's like, no, roll your thing. And I'm like, okay, I'm rolling it. Why are we doing this?
You see, kids, back in the day, your windows weren't automatic.
No, you didn't press a button. You had to roll it. And my little arms had to be like, she's like, hurry up and roll it. I'm like, why? She's like, oh, because there's a bunch of locusts coming right now.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, what are locusts? She's like, oh, they're like grasshoppers, but like bigger. I'm like, oh, so they're harmless? She's like, yeah, like they kind of mess up the crops a little bit. She's like, oh, also about locusts, like in the Bible. And like, I'm still young, so I'm like, I believe everything about the Bible. And she's like, oh yeah, biblically. So she's telling me all about how the plague of locusts like destroyed humanity while they're coming at the fucking window.
Oh,
and little
God.
Kid me's like, am I learning about scripture and experiencing fucking scripture right now?
Am I about to die?
Yeah, I'm like, are they going to do this to your crops? She's like, nah, they come through every once in a while. They don't care that much. And I'm like, what are they done? I'm like, they'll be done eventually when we get out of the field. This is the longest fucking drive I've ever had in my life. But I remember the experience of just like breaking through the field and just like, are there no more locusts? What the fuck?
Wow.
Yeah, that was my thing. Having the biblical lesson while literal locusts are swarming a crop.
That is an immersive experience.
Yeah.
Like an immersive Bible, like Sunday school.
Yeah, yeah. So the atheism came in a decade after that, I would say.
For sure.
That was, would you say that's the starting point of the atheism?
That's just like, please let this be bullshit. Please let this be bullshit. I'm going to have to look more into this God thing.
God, question mark?
Mm-hmm.
Must
be. Because I don't want to believe this.
Fair. That is so fair.
Mm-hmm. Scariest animals?
Yeah. We used to hike a lot. Me, Alex, Tony, and some of the other guys. And I think we were in Lake Silverwood area. I can't remember where exactly, but we were hiking. Me and Tony were next to each other. And he screams and runs the other way. And I hear him yell, look out. And I look down and there's a rattlesnake right by our feet.
Oh.
And
I see it and it's coiled up and it's shaking its tail.
Time to go.
And I was like, okay, so I'm going to run. But I know how fast these things strike. And I don't know if I'm going to get hit. So I just turned the other way and I ran. And obviously I didn't get bit, but we were both inches away from probably dying on that hike because we were pretty deep into the hike.
Shit.
And if that thing would have bit either one of us, no, you know, anti-venom or anything of that sort. Yeah, so. That
was, yeah.
James wins.
Actually, if you don't mind, I have one more. And this one's even more terrifying. Probably
more terrifying than SeaWorld?
All of us combined. This is probably more terrifying than all of us. I'll make it really short, real quick. Around 2012, maybe.
Attacked by a zombie beaver.
Maybe 2013. I came across like the most scariest animal I think I've ever fucking came in my life. And that animal's name was James Brizuela when I first met him.
Oh, I saw that one coming.
This hairy monster.
I pissed him off because there was a song.
Oh, I've heard this story.
The love song by The Cure.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, never poke a bear, you know, when you're seeing it, right? So I'm like, hell yeah, dude. I love this song. I love The Cure cover from 311's original song of the love song.
Oh, my God.
And James goes, what? Leo, who the fuck is this guy right here?
I did say that. I was very offended. I was like, what the fuck does this guy say?
The cover that The Cure did for 311. No, it's a good cover. It's a good cover. And then James is like, what?
He starts like shorting out. He's like, oh, cannot compute.
And that was Phil's first experience with the Beast and James' first experience with vermin.
Yes.
That was good.
Yes.
Good one. All right, let's have game time then, shall we?
Oh, fun. Let's go.
Defer to Alex for further instructions.
We defer. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to hand each of you a sticky note and a pen.
Okay.
Okay.
Hold on to it.
So far off to a good start.
A little more organized, I see.
Minus 10 points for Phil.
Immediately. What I want you to do is write down...
your bank account numbers.
Your social security numbers, the name of your first pet. No. What I need you guys to do is write down an interesting combination for the next... zombie, it could be a zombie, it could be a vampire rat, it could be like some kind of monster animal combo.
Okay.
And I need you to write down that, and I need you to fold it, and I need you to write your name on the front, and I need you to hand it back to me.
Okay.
Get as creative as you want. Do not say it out loud, obviously. Take a couple moments. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about a fun little announcement while you guys think and write.
All right.
I'm very excited to announce that the Horrible People's Podcast is expanding, and we're going to be doing a new D&D podcast.
Ooh-hoo-hoo.
Like, it's going to be a whole new shindig. We've talked about it a little bit on socials, but there's going to be a formal announcement soon. Me, James, Danny, who you have heard on the podcast, and Ruben, who you have not, and our friend Connor is also going to be in on it, and we're doing a fun little D&D podcast, and it is going to be a fun little time. Hopefully at this point, by the time this episode comes out, there will be more official release information, but it is called Turning Tables, and I will give you all the information at a later date. But yeah, it's coming soon. Stay tuned. If you like D&D, and you like listening to me.
And me. You said our name and the animal, right?
Just on the front.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the front. I know this is you.
I wrote the movie title of the name. Is that cool?
Okay.
I wrote the movie title of this thing that we're doing.
I just needed the animal.
Okay.
But that's fine.
I don't know.
That's fine.
I wrote the actual title of the film.
You're so creative. You don't get extra points for creativity, but that's fine. Okay, yeah, you're going to have to write an animal.
Okay.
You want another sticky note?
Please, yes.
And Phil loses.
He can't listen to
instructions. Honestly, the minus 10 points may be apt right there.
He can't listen to instructions. All right, cool. All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand each of you someone else's animal, and what you're going to do is you're going to create a quick little persona for yourselves, and you are going to create a solution for how we are to fight these various animals.
I love it.
All right, so I'm going to hand you this one. Don't open it just yet. And then I am going to hand you this one, James.
Okay.
And I am going to hand you this one.
Okay.
So we're going to start, I'm going to start with you, Anthony. Go ahead and open your sticky note. What does it say?
I love this one. I love this one. Oh, very creative. King Kong Seal, a.k.a. Giant Seal.
Giant Seal.
Okay.
So how are you, however you want to sell it, how are we going to combat Giant Seal?
Okay, so this King Kong Seal, clearly, what happened is a radioactive canister went in the whole Fisherman's Wharf of San Francisco where the seals are. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and then one came out, and this motherfucker is huge, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So San Franciscans, they don't have any guns over there, so we can't really do anything about that. So there's a lot of screaming liberals running around.
Screaming liberals.
Screaming liberals with hills, so they're not running fast.
No, yeah.
Yeah. But I think because of the wailing from these people, it is going to attract the seal, so this will naturally solve itself. Now, what's going to happen is the seal's going to try to chase these people up a hill, right? And it's going to chase its way all the way up to Dolores Park, which is the gayest of the parks. And it's
very
good. It's going to be we're going to have a concert ready.
That's going to get you fucking brownie points.
Yeah. No. We're going to have a concert ready right when he gets there. In order to stop this seal, we're going to have Seal play from Kiss on a Rose. Right there. And then we sedate the seal. And then, and all the screaming libs come in from all the fucking buildings, and we just tear it apart. Yeah. So Seal takes out the sedate Seal, and then Lefty Massacre. So that's how we're doing
it. Damn, you had to bring in Seal in this. Damn, that's a big one.
Yeah.
He did not come to fuck around.
King Kong Seal's done, son. What do you got? good one, James. That was fantastic, by the way. I love that.
That was from James. James.
By the way, in my head for this King Kong Seal was that it wasn't inherently evil or wanting to ruin or do anything, but because it's a seal, it's playful and it just kept running at people and destroying everything. And people were like, oh my god.
It would make sense that the libs had to destroy it.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. But this is a very right-wing seal.
So. All right. James, open yours.
What? All right, I got demonic little bears.
Just it's more than one. This is several little tiny demon bears, just so you know.
How are we gonna fight the plague of tiny demon bears?
Well, as you know, the demon is hatred.
Sure.
So what do you do to combat hatred? You bring in love.
I knew it.
And the only thing that we're going to do...
The Powerpuff Girls?
To combat the demonic little bears is we're going to bring in the army of Care Bears.
Oh!
These Care Bears are going to shoot love out of their chest right into these little fuckers' hearts and turn them into Care Bears. Mic drop.
That's really.
I like how succinct that solution is. Involving.
I want you to know the original. And... What I originally wrote was the title for this movie.
What is this scene?
It was called "The Power of Christ Compels Paddington." Because I thought that's what we're doing. I was like, I was thinking, name the movie. And I was like, all right, the power of Christ compels Paddington, and it's like a demonic Paddington.
Oh, that is.
But I was
fantastic.
Like, let's generalize it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Care Bears, baby.
All right. Can I show the line?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Mine is a ghost beagle.
Yeah. What?
How do we? Are you looking at beagles?
It's the same dog as Snoopy.
Oh, okay.
He's like a beagle.
I had to look up what a beagle looked like.
I could have said ghost seagulls. That would have been a little easier.
Yes. To be fair, based on your handwriting, I did think it said Bengal, like the tiger.
Yeah, it looked like Bengal.
Like ghost Bengal tigers.
No, the regular domestic dogs. Ghost beagles.
Ghost beagles.
You know, okay, cool. All right, I got something here. Okay.
Yeah, how do we defeat the plague of ghost beagles? Yeah,
several ghost beagles.
Several ghost beagles, not just one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is
ghost beagle?
Just one ghost beagle.
Singular.
Just one.
Just one? Okay.
Yeah, just one
pack. Here it is. The beagle just so happened to be the dog of John Wick that got murdered. So this is his story.
Oh shit.
He goes into the afterworld, into the underworld, where all the other dead, you know, not all dogs go to heaven, dude. That's the tagline.
Especially an
for
assassin's
this movie.
Dog, yeah.
This is the tagline of the movie, not all dogs go to heaven. This guy, this ghost beagle, he went to the underworld. He came back. And just like Spawn, he made a deal with the devil.
He made a deal with the demonic little bear.
Yes, with the demonic little bear. And so the devil is like, hey, man, you got killed in a very wrong way. And your father, who happens to be Keanu Reeves, is really miserable up there. Well, you know, humanity can't go for that, man. So if you want, you know, for a little while, you can go up there and do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. You know, but I need you back here at a certain amount of time. I need you back here in 90 days.
Okay.
Cool.
Wow, 90-day beagle.
90-day beagle. So, ghost beagle goes up there. What does he do? You know, he can't really communicate with the living, right? Why do you think John Wick survives so much fucking, the guy's been throwing off stories off buildings and he survives that shit? Because the ghost beagle is helping him. He's covering him up with all the fucking, his mana, as the Rock would say. You know what I'm saying?
His big floppy ears.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, floppy ghost ear energy.
This ghost beagle, he's not just there to protect, you know, John Wick, but he's also there to seek revenge. Like the Crow. He says, victims, aren't we all? He comes back when he fucking avenges his death. He goes after those fucking Russian guys, and he puts his spirits inside of John Wick's guns. That's why John Wick never misses, dude.
Oh, I like it.
Ghost Beagle, chapter 2, by the way.
There's no defeating the Beagle. The Beagle has a time limit. Yes.
Beagle is...
He's out for
infinite.
Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he's
the
out for
infinite
revenge.
Beagle.
He's out for revenge, and he's there to guide his master.
One might say
Keanu.
It's an everything beagle.
Yes. Oh,
there you go.
Oh my god, that would have been. I would have given you 10 points in the game. I would have given you like. I'm like, cool, lead. She gets the lead.
I haven't even seen the movie. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
It was just an everything bagel joke. Chill. Not everything has to be about the fucking movie, Phil.
That's actually. Yeah, no spoiler. I'm not gonna spoil nothing here. Here you go. Watch freaking Everything Everywhere.
Okay. I was going to watch it the other day, but it was on Paramount Plus. I didn't have it, so I didn't watch it.
It's on Showtime.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck. I should do that. All right. Anyways.
So, Ghost Beagle. End scene. At the end.
He's still got it.
At the very end of Ghost Beagle, he goes back. He goes back to hell. Like, you know, like that was the deal. He goes back. The devil says, hey, man, Keanu's on a lot of shit. We need you in. We need you to go back up there. Boom. Ghost Beagle, chapter 2.
Oh,
this
shit.
Time, he brings some pencils with him. A fucking pencil.
A fucking pencil.
That's my story. Ghost
Beagle. Okay. Ghost Beagle. I like his take on Ghost Beagle.
Three incredible stories, guys.
Very unique solutions.
Very unique solutions.
I don't know that Phil's was the solution more as he just took the story and made it its own.
No, he was just like, this is my chance to pitch my story.
I like how you mix Spawn and John Wick, though. That's cool.
I honestly thought it was gonna be like this whole Dante's Inferno thing where like John Wick had to go to like the deepest circle of hell to bring the Beagle.
The Beagle comes to the 7 levels of hell just to annoy the fuck out of people.
It turns into like an Orpheus and Eurydice type thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Where...
Exactly.
Alrighty. I'm gonna say the winner of that one is... I'm going to say Anthony won that one.
I mean, kiss from a rose.
You had Seal.
Yeah.
You had goddamn Seal.
He had an unfair
Seal.
Advantage because he did bring Seal into the equation.
Yeah. Those are the big guns, man. You had C motherfucking...
Eel?
Eel?
Eel.
Yeah. But did you know that when it snows?
Yeah. And he's saying one of the most greatest songs in the history of like humanity.
That's the only way you stop the fucking seal.
Yes. Yes.
That's the only way.
Stop the seal.
Stop.
Absolutely.
Stop the seal.
Stop the seal.
Oh, damn, you're on fire too. All right, that's good. Jesus.
Oh my God. This is what happens when I'm not under pressure.
I was gonna say, where were these plugs last?
I put her on a timer.
The second I'm under pressure, my brain just immediately stops working. Yeah, that's why. Oh man.
It's like that meme with that lady screaming. She's like, ah.
That is what happens the second I'm under any sense of pressure.
But valiant effort from both. I was very impressed with both stories, especially.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Care Bears fighting Demon Bears. Very good.
We had a whole like three section like arc from you. Like,
yeah, that's true. We got the epilogue even in there too. That was pretty good.
We got the setup for the sequel.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although that, you know, could it fall subject to sequelitis? We'll have to just wait and see.
It could be easily called Ghost Beagle Chapter 2, but sequelitis, you know, confirmed, it could be called Ghost Sequel Annihilation. So we don't know.
Ghost Beagle Way of the Samurai?
There you go. Yeah.
Damn.
Ghost Dog.
Oh my God. Did you not get?
Yeah.
I was waiting for somebody to latch on to that.
That's good.
That's good. That's a roundabout joke right there.
Which, by the way, Ghost Dog can be available now on the Criterion Collection.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, anyway. Let's wrap this episode up. Rate this movie out of 5 thinly veiled innuendos.
Dude, this is 3.3.
That's,
I'm gonna give it a
very specific.
I don't know why. It just seems right. 3.3.
Just feels right to you.
It just feels 3. Right.
3.3. Beaver
so
jokes.
Fun. It's so fun. Like, I just... It's just a fun fucking movie. All
right.
I'd have a really good time watching it again.
Fair enough.
With people who haven't seen it. I think it'd be a good time.
Yeah.
I'm going to say.
I think it'd be a good time. I think we'd have fun.
Fun factor. Also, fun episode. Yeah. I'm down. Yeah. 3.3.
Throw in some alcohol, some drugs, and some friends.
Oh, like, yeah. Let's get lit and watch this fucking movie.
It would be very fun to watch lit. I was a little tired when, like, towards the end. I was just like, all right. Mm-hmm. Let's end this. But, yeah, it was very fun, regardless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give it 3.75.
Ooh.
Sacrifice dogs out of 5.
Ah. Ooh,
all right. I really enjoyed it. I honestly think it's one of the better, trashier horror movies.
Definitely.
It had a lot of really cool elements, and yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I would watch it again, and I think this is going to be probably in my regular rotation.
It's a good, like, relaxing watch, I feel like.
Definitely.
Like, it's good background noise.
Definitely.
Also good to just show people, I think. Yeah. Like, hey, are there, like, 6 of us here? 5 of you haven't seen this shit? Let's go.
Yeah. Especially if it's, like, the right group of people, you know what I mean?
Not taking it too seriously.
Exactly.
Perfect, yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to go 3... cut phone lines out of 5 because it's fucking fun. It's cool. When it comes to like this kind of cheese, like this is probably at the top of like my recommendation / like I'm gonna have a good fucking time with friends and just throw it on. And yeah, I think 3 is cool. I'm good with that one. Yeah. I liked it. I will definitely see it again someday. For sure. Yeah. I have no fucking huge quarrels with it.
Honestly, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I really don't.
Quarrels, squirrels,
anything. Wow.
Or beagles.
Or beagles.
Squirrel, beavers, squirrels.
Zom quarrels.
I'm going to give this movie 3 Beaver Bros.
Out of 5.
They both sealed the deal.
Oh, that was good. I mean, it was super fun. Like, 3 is nothing to turn your nose up at. Especially for me. Yeah. It was super fun. I could this would be like a super fun like summer watch with a bunch of friends.
Yeah. Summer movie. Absolutely.
Like, it's a good summer, like just get fucked up and enjoy the absolute madness of beavers. Knowing what phone lines are. I'm not going to get over the phone lines.
So we're saying an Alex Webster summer party in his apartment with all the bros. Zombievers.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
You got to, like, tack on a few movies, do a marathon, but, like, Zombievers has got to be
in the rotation.
Zombievers is going to have to be at the rotation at one point where everyone is just like,
absolutely.
Woo!
Yeah.
Like, ready for Tits and Bill Burr? Let's go.
Let's do it.
John Mayer, let's go!
And the bros are big Bill Burr fans.
Yeah, too, no, so. It'd be great. It'd
I was very, very
We were supposed to go see Bill Burr the weekend that the world shut down.
The world changed? Yeah.
Yes, the weekend that everything changed.
Yeah, and I invited these two fuckers, they didn't show up.
Mm-hmm. What?
Mm-hmm. 2020 March. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Bill Burr tickets.
Oh, dude, I was in college, like...
Yeah, no.
I was way too...
I also asked you guys to drive to LA within, like, 3 days.
I don't even remember, like, last week, dude.
I don't know. When, like, COVID happened, the weekend, everything shut down.
I was supposed to fly out to New York, like, that weekend, and, like, I had just had to, like, cancel everything because, like, the world was shutting down. Mm-hmm. It was a nightmare.
We were all at my place, and we're like, it's gonna... Like, they're not gonna take it away, are they? And we're like, we're just there, like... Well, let's just get fucked up today, then.
And we all got fucked up in Anthony's apartment.
Yep. As is a tale as old as very recently, actually.
A tale as old as 72 hours ago. All right, let's go ahead and wrap up for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us. That was Zombievers from 2014. Next week... We're getting a little religious with it, or are we?
Who knows?
Who knows?
So stay tuned for that. James will be joining us next week for that as well.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening on wherever you're listening. If you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, however, we would super duper appreciate it if you could write us a review or leave us a little rating on iTunes or Spotify. It does help other people find the podcast, and it means the world. It would also help Anthony's poor broken heart so we can get back up to our 5.0 rating on iTunes.
Yes, solid 5. Whoever put that 3, go fuck yourself.
Okay, relax.
No,
relax.
They already made the rating, Alex. No, they already did the rating.
But it's fine. It happened. Okay. We don't want to single anyone out. All like, right, it's fine.
It was me.
But anyway.
The Warriors did it.
Anyway, let's see what else. As I mentioned at the little intermission, we're launching a new podcast.
That's right.
Yes. Yeah. Turning Tables is a live play D&D podcast where the hosts take turns DMing. It's going to be a fun time. We've already recorded a few episodes. Stay tuned for more details on the actual release date. I don't know if it'll be out by the time this episode airs, but check us out on Instagram at Turning Tables Pod. James is in it.
Yeah, I am in it.
So,
I am not one of the DMs, but I am in it.
Yes. So
I can share.
I am one of the DMs. So if you're into that, check it out. And then if you want to stay up to date on the latest and greatest on all of our podcast shenanigans, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORRORBLE People's Podcast. You can find Anthony on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find Phil on YouTube and Instagram at Phil with 2 L's Acevedo.
Yeah.
And James is incognito as always.
I mean, you know, if you know me, you have my Instagram. If you don't, whatever.
It's the Mighty Mutt.
The Mighty Mutt.
It's the Mighty Mutt.
It's the Mighty Care Bear.
It's the Mighty Care Bear at everythingsucks.com.
Yeah. Yeah. No, oh my gosh, he suddenly just got attacked by beavers. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so weird. Anyway, thank you so much, everyone, for listening, and stay tuned for some very exciting podcast updates.
Definitely.
Nice.
Very exciting stuff. In the meantime, go find some beaver today.
And if your phone lines are cut, run.
And baby, yes. I can see
kids from Rose.
Wow.
Baby. Wow.